My name's Michelle O'Wu and I'm carrying out this interview on behalf of the Wellcome Trust for the One Another Project. The date today is the 1st of September 2009 and the time is now 2:25 a.m. Could you tell me your name, your age and where you come from, please?
Yeah, I'm Simon Blackstone. I'm 49 and I'm from Lewes in East Sussex.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you feeling?
All right, actually, yeah. Warm.
Warm. Okay. When did you come up from Lewes?
Came up yesterday now, Saturday afternoon, and checked into a hotel in Charing Cross. Just yesterday afternoon, really.
Are you often in London or not?
Yeah, I work in London. I work in Golden Square, which is not too far from here. And in fact, my commute from this usually brings me into Victoria, but occasionally into Charing Cross, so I've been past the plinth in the morning a few times and seen the different people up there, so quite exciting to be part of it, definitely.
Have you enjoyed watching things going on in the morning as you walk in?
I have, yes. It's sort of, sometimes I feel a little sorry almost for the people who are up there. I don't quite know why, because it's a voluntary thing, and I haven't been press ganged into doing it, and we've all put ourselves forward, but. Sometimes it looks quite a lonely place up there. I don't know why some mornings more than others.
How do you feel when you walk past? So does it raise a smile? Are you quite bemused? How do you feel about it?
I think it depends on what's going on and who's up there and what they're doing. And also, weirdly, to a certain extent, on the sort of frame of mind you're in or I'm in. If I'm running late, then I sort of look at it and I hardly take it in at all. But if I'm running to time, then it's actually quite good. One thing I do think about it is that it's great to be here at this time when it's all happening, because I think it's the sort of thing that in years to come people will look back on it, and whatever happens with that plinth in the future, we will all have been here to see it, even if only on TV, to have seen this sort of this project underway. So I feel got excited by it, I think, it's the main thing.
How did you first hear about it, can you remember?
I think it was probably on the Archers, I'm afraid. Probably a few people have said this. I think it was probably on the Archers when they were trying to, when they applied to go on the plinth. I think I'd heard about it before then. I'm sure I'd heard about it in the press and sort of hadn't thought anything more of it. And then when, whether it was Jill Archer or whoever applied to go, I thought, well, it looks fairly easy. Then I went to the website, then applied, and then got the standard rejection thing. It was only day before yesterday that I got a call in the morning saying there's a spot at 3 o'clock, so I guess someone pulled out. So it's all been a bit of I hadn't planned anything really, so.
Had you thought about what you might do?
I hadn't, no, because I'd sort of, put it when I applied for it, I just thought it would be a bit like I was saying earlier. I thought it would be great just to be part of it because it's a one-off thing, and it's a bit like when the Olympics come in 2012. It'd be great just to even just be near one of the events, just to have been part of it. Like it must have been great to have been at Crystal Palace or the exhibition or whatever. I completely forgot the question. Do forgive me. Why did I want to take part? Sorry. Why did I want to take part? I think it was because I wanted to be part of this project, and I thought I wouldn't get an opportunity to ever again. And I thought if I applied and was turned down, that's fine. But at least I'd had a go, and that would be better than maybe seeing it on Sky Arts or whatever, or seeing the show with Clive Anderson and sort of thinking maybe I could have had a chance if I'd bothered to apply. So the fact that I applied and initially got the I'm sorry, we've got enough people already, was absolutely fine, didn't bother me at all.
Have you watched much of it on the net or on Sky?
I've since Friday morning at 11 a.m. when I got the call, so come up in a couple of days. I've watched a fair bit on the live feed on the website. Prior to that, I had seen it on the Clive Anderson programme, the One Another programme.
How did it compare? How did those compare, those experiences, to seeing it in the square when you've passed by on your way to work?
It's much hadn't thought about it. It's much, in a way, it's weird, in a way, it's much bigger. And I think, I don't know if it's the fact that today, September the 1st, is the sort of, it's just finishing off a bank holiday, so, or whether it's just me knowing I'm going to be on it, but wandering around it today, it seemed much more central than I thought it was going to be, much more of a sort of, a magnetic thing drawing people to it. Whereas before, probably again because I was walking to work, I'd just walk past and it would be something that was happening in my peripheral vision, if you like. But I think being here and seeing also the organisation behind it and how it all works, it's a much, much bigger thing than just walking past it on the way to work, I think.
Can I ask what you do for a living?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I work in advertising. I make radio commercials, so produce and direct radio commercials for different advertising agencies, all of them based in London, hence my office being up here.
When did you first get into advertising?
I can't think how many years ago, it was about 16 years ago, and I've always worked in radio. Before that I was a presenter, but worked on lots of different radio stations because I kept getting fired from them. So
why was that?
Lack of talent. It's a very difficult thing to do because if you're working in radio, all you've got is obviously your personality, such as it is. And then if someone comes along and says, actually, we don't want your type of personality anymore, we want to be very brash and upfront and top 40, for instance, we want a much younger sound than you are, then you just go straight away.
What was your radio personality like compared to
ordinary personality? Very similar. Very similar, very relaxed. God, that's going to sound big headed. No, it's very, very, very similar to the way I am now. It was very conversational, very one-to-one. I was very lucky in that, without being too boring about it, I was in at the end of the first phase of local commercial stations, and it was a tiny station in Reading called Radio 210. And at that time, radio was very much put forward as being a friend to you, as a one-to-one type thing. These days, for local radio, it's much more sort of coming at you. We're bringing lots of entertainment to you. We're big and we're brash, and which is fine. But it's, if I tried that, I'd sound so ridiculous. It just would be unbelievable. So my radio person was very much the same, very conversational.
What was the structure of the shows like?
Very loose. We could choose our own music. The only structural points in there, ironically, because of what I do now with the commercial breaks, which there'd be 8 of those an hour. And apart from that, you could do more or less what you wanted. Choosing your own music. Which I was for a while, if you're on at daytime in mid-morning, then it was a little different in that you had to do sort of weird things like phone the dentist and all this sort of stuff, which was, people would phone up and say, we'd have a dentist in the studio, we have experts in the studio, different expert every day, and it was just crazy, really. We'd have we'd have a dentist who would come in every Tuesday, it would be a different dentist every day, every week rather. And people would phone up and say, I've got terrible problems with my back tooth, I'm not quite sure what it is, one of them's fallen out, and they said, oh yes, that's very interesting, and you know, have you tried this, and, which is incredibly tedious radio, really. And of course, most of the time people don't really want to phone up a dentist on air, so you're almost begging people to phone in. So we had that, we had a lot of people phoning in to find out about their false teeth, how they what they weren't working properly, or so it was a little odd, really. I mean, a doctor, an antiques expert, it was very weird, most visual thing you could have. Someone would say, I've got this picture, and this chap would say, oh yes, yeah, so. What are they going to do, hold it up to the telephone or what? and as a presenter, you had to sit there and take this very, very seriously, and someone said, oh, I was very, very pleased you called, and all that sort of stuff. So it was a little odd. It was, they called it full service in those days, because it meant that the local radio stations, in particular, commercial local radio stations, had to be a bit of everything. So, music and stuff during the day, and then all sorts of weird specialist programs at night, and then in the sometimes in the day there'd be a mixture of the two, which is what I did. So it was a little strange.
Would you describe your current job as it's still being quite quirky in some ways?
It's fairly quirky. It's sort of depends who you're working with, as always. By the time I get involved, the sort of creative work has already been done, and the script has already been written and approved by the client. So when I come in, I deal with the creative team, the copywriter and the art director, and the main thing we do is choose voices to record it, and also if there's going to be anything special about the recording, like we did one for the army a while ago, which was army recruitment, army soldier be the best, and it was featured a couple of tanks, and the whole thing was this is an enemy tank, this is a British tank, and you'd hear the sound of an enemy tank and the sound of a British one, and which one is this one coming towards you. So it was a neat idea, but the army quite rightly, thankfully, wanted it to be as accurate as possible, so we went out to Salisbury Plain and recorded an enemy tank and a British tank, so it was authentic. So that's the sort of thing we decide in sort of the pre-production. The quirky bit usually comes in the recording, actually, right at almost the last thing you do, and it depends on the script. More often than not, there's room for a bit of character in there, and they'll have written it for a type of personality or a type of character, and sometimes the actors will busk around it, and that can be really good fun. So it's still quirky, and particularly it's not dull at all. It's different every day, so that's why I like it, I think.
Talking of personality, what kind of personality are you, would you say?
On the website, I put happy-go-lucky. I really don't know why I put that. That's just such a disaster.
Is that not true?
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure it is, really. And it sounds a bit cute as well. And it just happened to be the, you know, as we know, title of a Mike Lee film, as well as a well-known expression. So, I don't know about that. But as a personality, I think I enjoy working with people. I'm much better working with people than with figures and numbers, and I think on detail it can be a little interesting at times, you know. I sometimes need to, that's a bit I really need to work on as a personality. I haven't answered your question. I think I am someone who I do try and get a lot out of life, particularly because I was diagnosed with diabetes. I mean, nothing too terrible, but a couple of years ago, very late onset, as they said, I was far too old. And once I'd been diagnosed with that, this was the first time I was hearing from the specialist and the GP as well, that there were sort of these finite things like this: you will have this for the rest of your life, and your life expectancy may not be as great as it was previously, and all that sort of stuff. Which, you know, it's fine; people have a lot worse. But that was. From that moment, I suddenly thought, "Oh my goodness me! You know, better." I think maybe one reason why I'm doing one another is I thought I've got to. It's going to sound a bit weirdly evangelical. I don't really want it to, but I want to try and not let any day drift by where you sort of think, "Oh, what a boring day! I didn't do anything," or "Oh my goodness, that was rubbish." Or so I think I'm very much launching myself into things at the moment.
Is that very different from how you were before?
It's fairly different, because I'd be very cautious before, and I'd be very I would weigh stuff up and sort of wonder if it was a good idea, and I'd probably be more not overly, but I would have been more pessimistic before. I'd have thought, what happens if it all goes wrong, or what happens if it doesn't work out, rather than nowadays I think it would be a shame if I didn't try it. So it's a little different, probably a bit more irritating, and then you're sort of, come on, let's do this, and charging around everywhere.
How do your family react to that?
I think generally they've been great, very, very supportive. I think the diabetes sort of rather was more difficult for them in a way, because they came in and saw me on a drip and all this sort of stuff, which wasn't brilliant, and it wasn't for long, and the aftercare's great and it's treatable and all that stuff. But I think it was probably more of a rug pull, if you like, for them than it was for me, because I was just going through it, and I'd be there, and the specialists would come up and say, you do this, you do that, and whereas they don't come in once a day and see me. So I think they're hopefully just relieved that it's all sorted, and that if that means I'm being a bit more energetic, then they just all look at each other and throw their eyes to heaven, I think. But
so. What do they think of you taking part in this project?
Because, well...
At 3 o'clock in the morning.
Well, my wife and daughter have come up. Tom, our son, hasn't. He had much more important party to go to back home in Lewis. So, but he's gonna watch on the live feed on the website. I think they're excited. I think I had said I'd applied, but I think they'd largely forgotten about it until I phoned them on Friday and said, I've got this spot in a couple of days' time, is that okay? And thankfully they said, oh yes, fine. So I think they're quite chuffed, really. So
how are you going to spend your time on the plinth?
Reading short stories. It sounds a bit boring now, because I've heard about Captain, I forget the name of the guy who was in just now, Captain something, who was on this afternoon, superhero, and the lady up there with the poi at the moment, which looks fantastic. So I genuinely hadn't thought what to do, and it's my fault entirely. I should have figured something out when I applied all those months ago, and then when I got the call on a few days ago, I said yes, of course, and then I was trying to think of what to do, and I thought, I don't play an instrument, and I don't sing. This is what I've seen other people do, people singing, which is great, really, some really good stuff up there. I mean, it's like, like the greatest free show in town, and it changes every hour, so brilliant. I can't sing. I hope a singing voice. So I thought what I do like doing is sometimes reading through scripts with actors. If the other person hasn't arrived for the thing, and I thought maybe I could read aloud. And I thought if there was something that I could do that doesn't really matter if people don't engage with it vocally. So I thought if I did something that relied on audience response, and at the time of morning that I'm on, there may well not be any physical people there, and those that are there may, last thing they want is probably someone saying, come on, join in, oh yes, okay, do you know what time it is? So I thought if I did something that people could drift in and out of if they wanted to. So I'm reading short stories. Sorry.
What kind of stories?
They're Roald Dahl ones. I think I chose him because he's got an interesting narrative, and I don't know a great deal about his work. My son is doing English at Leicester Uni, has done some of his stuff as part of his degree course, and I know it because I'm of an age from Tales of the Unexpected on telly back in the day. And I remember watching those and thinking they're absolutely great, and so I'm literally yesterday in Brighton bought a book of short stories of his.
Are these for children or adults?
These are for adults. They're for adults, but I've vetted them, so hopefully there's nothing too sinister in there, because I don't really want to shock anyone or scare anyone. And it was really just to have something interesting to read, and maybe a little bit different, and that would something that would more than. Sorry, something that would be good enough to listen to more than one. So even just hear one and think, oh, okay, done that. So I've no idea how it's going to go, or how much voice I'm going to have, or how much I have to project, if at all, or whether I'm going to stand up and read it like a preacher from the pulpit, or just sit down, dangle legs like I'm chatting to someone. Not sure, really.
How do you think it might compare with all your radio work, with all the presenting that you've done, in terms of how you present it, your delivery?
I think it'll be different, because the radio was a long time ago, but there it was, you didn't see your audience at all, which was one of the one of the great things about why it attracts a certain type of person to work in it is that you don't see the audience, you just do it, and then you get once every three months you get your audience figures and hope there's someone there.
Do you have anybody in mind that you'll be reading their stories for?
I don't actually. I think I think I'm going to try and be as general as possible. I think what I've tried to do is think of it as if I was one of the spectators looking at someone on the plinth reading, and what would put me off, and I think what would put me off, is only personally, would be if someone suddenly caught my eye and then every few seconds gave you a knowing glance or something like that, and you suddenly felt, whoa, I'm not sure about this, I'm here to spectate really, and I don't, if I was performing I'd be up there, not down here. So hopefully be a little bit broad rather than focusing on one person or any type of person.
You looking forward to it now?
I am looking forward to it, yeah.
Anything else you'd like to say?
No, only that it's obviously great to be part of it. I'm really, 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 really excited, particularly as it all came so late, and I think in a way that's made it a lot easier, because I haven't had months or weeks or a couple of days only to sort of get anxious about it. And it also means that I haven't been able to tell everyone, which is probably not a bad thing as well. I'm very, very excited. And the organisation here is so laid back and friendly. It's great. Makes you very welcome.
Well, have a great time up there.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, everyone.